Ephesians, 6th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, 6th chapter, starting at verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you again tonight, Lord, for this privilege we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church of being able to gather together, hear the word preached, and pray together. And Father, just honor you and love you and let you know how much you're loved of us. And especially, Lord, how much you loved us, that you'd give your life to die on the cross for our sins. I thank you so much for that. We ask you to help this preacher tonight as he preaches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 21 and through verse number 24 ends the book of Ephesians on a personal note. The Apostle Paul says some personal things to them whom he is writing to, makes some personal comments. The basic teaching of the book of Ephesians, the doctrinal matter, the application, ends in verse number 20. And we've went through this marvelous, wonderful book. And if you go back, you remember we stressed the fact that in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians was basically doctrine. God is teaching us doctrine. Okay, now that's important. You hang on to it. I know you've heard me say it so many times through this book. But first three chapters, basically. Oh, there's other things stated. But basically, he's teaching us doctrine. You get to chapter 4, and he begins to put application to that doctrine. Now, we've stressed this before. We can know all the doctrines of the Word of God. If we do not apply them, we are really just simply doesn't do us much good whatsoever. We've got to learn, and that's the way the Apostle Paul does it. He teaches us doctrine, and then he says, now let's apply these wonderful truths. In chapter 4, basically, he begins to teach the application of the doctrine that we learned in the first three chapters. Now, again, I'm not saying there isn't doctrine on past there, but we're just trying to divide it up there and say that's the way, basic way he did this. Now, you know in chapter 4, he told us about how that we should keep the unity of the Spirit, told us how a church was to what the purpose of the church and the gifts to the church. You remember he gave in verse 7 on through 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? Well, he told us what for. He told us it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He told us that he wants us to be no more children tossed to and fro in verse 14 of chapter 4 and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Once again, what he's wanting you and I to do is grow up, be mature Christians. And he wants us to know the truth of the Bible, the Word of God. He wants us to apply that to our life so that we won't be tossed to and fro with every doctrine that comes along, see. And so he went through all of that. And then, of course, in chapter 5, you remember we come to that wonderful portion of Scripture in chapter 5 where he told us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And right after in verse number 18 of chapter 5, he told us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then he goes into some areas in which we are to be filled. He tells us to the married folk, to the husbands and to the wives, he says to us, it's impossible to be the kind of wife you should be. It's impossible to be the kind of husband you should be unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. See, all of that, it's starting at verse 19. This sounds kind of silly, but verse 19, all is after verse 18. be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if you want to be the right kind of wife, he says, you be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to be the right kind of husband, you be filled with the Spirit of God. Then he goes down, of course, and gets into chapter 6, and he talks about the parent and children relationship. Talks about how the children are to obey their parents and fathers not to provoke their children to wrath and all. It's a children-parent relationship. And he says again, remember this, he says again, you know, the only way you're going to be the right kind of child, the only way you're going to be the right kind of parent, be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what he's telling us. And then he goes on down into the servant-master relationship. On down in 6th chapter, goes down and talks about the servant and the master and how the relationship there is to be. And again, he is saying to us, what kind of relationship are we going to have without being filled with the Spirit of God? We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. No matter what we do in life, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need that every day of our life. To live and do whatever we do in life, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then, of course, he comes to that portion of Scripture which we have been studying, starting at verse number 10, about the armor of God and how we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Again, that thought continues. How are we going to do that, folks? How in the world are we going to stand against the devil's wiles and the fiery darts of the devil? Be filled with the Spirit of God. You see, that all comes afterwards. And that's what he's saying to us. If you want to be the right kind of warrior, you need the armor of God. You need that armor. Oh, yes, we do. We need the armor of God. We went through that. And we covered all that piece by piece. We covered that. And God said we must have the whole armor of God, not part of it, but we must have the whole armor of God. And again, going back there, though, it's being filled with the Spirit of God, you see. And yet, to me, it's very interesting, the very last thing that he brings to our attention in chapter 6, after he's went through the armor of God, all of that that we're going to have to fight against. And remember, we've stressed heavily on the fact that you have an enemy, and he hates you, he despises you, it's old Satan, and he'll do anything he can to just destroy you. Remember, and he's a real enemy, he's a powerful enemy. Remember how we've stressed that? Don't take him lightly. Amen. Don't take him lightly. He's powerful. And at the end then, he says in verse number 17, and we covered the first part of verse number 18 last week, but he says, praying always. Even if you have on the armor of God, you cannot quit praying. Why? Because that's our contact with God and our dependence upon God Almighty. We need His power. If we quit praying, we're defeated foe. That's basically what he's saying to us. Praying always, you see. And if you notice in that, at the first of that, he says in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. But look what he says, in the Spirit. In other words, we're to pray directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Prayers that are given unto us. Help us. The Holy Spirit of God helps us as we pray and as we speak to God. Our praying ought to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God as we pray. Amen. So again, I'm saying to you what he's saying to us here at the very last of this wonderful letter. All the doctrine, all the application, all these things, the warning about Satan and all this, he comes in and hones in on the very last thing and says, praying always. Now, I can't stress that enough to the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We preached the whole message on it last week about the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. Okay? And now what he's going to do now in the last part of that verse and following that, he's going to tell us what and who we ought to pray for. What should we pray for? Who should we pray for? And he begins to tell us those things here in that portion of Scripture. I want you to turn over to the next book in the Bible, the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. Now, the verses I'm going to read to you go very well with verse number 18 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. But in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse number 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And then he says, "Be careful for nothing." Now, I know these are familiar verses. You've read over this. You've heard them. But listen to what God is saying. He said, don't worry about anything. When he says, don't be careful for nothing, he means don't worry and don't be anxious about anything. That means anything. Amen. But what does he say for us to do with it? But in everything, that means everything, by prayer and supplication. And he adds in this verse, he doesn't say this over in chapter 6 of Ephesians, but he says, with thanksgiving. Amen. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What he's trying to do is this. He's trying to get us to simply trust God with our request and let them be known unto him. You know when he says we have not because we ask not? I mean, do you know there's a lot of truth that in Christianity? Do we sit around and we talk about this or that? And remember, I'm not just talking about material things, okay? There's more things important than material things, okay? But I'm simply saying we have not because we ask not. We just fail to get down on our knees and simply look to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my need. Here's a request. And I'm not just talking about some, like I said, some physical, material thing. I'm talking about the needs of our life. You know, you and I need God's power in our life. Do we not? Don't we need his wisdom? I mean, you know what? A lot of times we don't have wisdom because we don't ask for it. We don't have power of God because we don't ask for it. He's telling us in the Word. He said, let your requests be made known unto God. See? And he says then, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't it marvelous when we can give our request unto the Lord and really give them to him, really talk to him, how the peace of God is just there. You know, I don't understand it, folks. I mean, I can't come to you and say, well, here it is, 1, 2, 3. All I know, it's true. And he said, the peace of God is there. And that peace that passes all understanding is there. Why? Because you have given it to God. You're trusting him with the whole affair. You know, you may think about it. You may be trying to lean on your understanding a little bit. He says not to lean on our understanding, but he doesn't say we should not try to understand. But we're not trusting in our understanding or anybody else's understanding. We're leaning on God. Amen. And that's why he says that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. See, that's why, you see. So in other words, is it right? And you know, I've had people say to me, well, I don't ever pray for myself. Well, I want to tell you something. I do. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I pray for me. Now, I don't spend much time on prayer on material things for me. But I do spend time on, God, I want your power. This preacher needs your power. This preacher needs your wisdom. I need guidance in my life. I need this. And I need things from God. I'm just telling you. I've heard preachers say, I never spend time praying for myself. Well, I don't know. That's all right if they do that. But I do. I spend some time. I always pray for others first. But I do spend some time praying for me, and especially about the work of God and my need as a pastor and a husband and a father and things like that. I pray and ask God's help. Help me to be what I need to be. So again, I think it's right for us to pray for ourselves. I think it's all right to do that. Maybe we don't want to spend all of our time praying for ourselves, but I think there's certain things we need to ask God for in our Christian life. And he tells us to do that with all perseverance. In other words, never allowing ourselves to become lax, slack in our prayer. You got to keep after that thing, folks. You know it, and I know it. Prayer is one of the first things that goes. I don't know whether you'll say amen or not, but I want to tell you right now, prayer is one of the first things that goes. And God says we need to do it with all perseverance. We've got to keep after it. We've got to do it. We can't let up. We've not let anything stop us. We've just got to keep praying. That's how important God says that prayer is. Another thing that I believe God wants us to be reminded, because he talks about in the last of verse 18 there, for all saints, I think God wants to remind us, folks, listen to me, when you're praying, will you remember something? You're not in this by yourself. I mean, there's God's people all over this world that's in this with us. And we don't have to feel like somebody over here in a corner somewhere and woe is me. We've got people, God's people, all over this world, everywhere. And God is telling us, you know, remind yourself, you're part of God's army. You're not the army, you're part of it. And you're part of that great big picture. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But we're part of the army of God, you see. It's not just about us. And another thing is this. God wants us to remember something. We are entitled, because of our position, who we are, to look to God Almighty and expect Him to provide the needs of our life for us. He is our Heavenly Father. And we can look to our Heavenly Father because He is our Heavenly Father. Do you think He's not going to care for His children? Huh? Don't you think He's a better Father than me and you? I know He is. And don't you care for your children? Aren't you concerned? So remember something. Our Heavenly Father up there in heaven cares what it is that's on your heart and need of your life. He cares. And He wants to hear from you. Whatever it is, He wants to hear from you, see. So He's telling us that, and let me say in that, you know that He has all the resources of anything we needed. I mean, there's nothing He don't have. Amen. I'm not going to say He's going to do every answer, every single prayer that you ask, because it may not be good for you. He may handle it a different way. He may give it to you a different way than maybe what you ask. But I'm simply saying to you, He has all the resources that's necessary for anything. You're asking a Heavenly Father that is not limited with a bank account. Amen. Or any other account. He's not limited, period. He is our Heavenly Father. Now, He tells us in that verse of Scripture, notice at the last where we talked about it a little bit here, but He says, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray, He says, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, that's that intercessory prayer. That's what we was talking about a while ago when we asked for prayer requests. We're asking people to pray intercessory prayer for other saints of God. And in that, folks, listen, you know that's why we have this thing called a prayer chain? I mean, did you know that? I mean, you know, we just used it today. Amen. We announced it on Sunday. We announced it on Sunday because Sister Dolores was going to be on the hospital today, and we knew when she was going to be in. We announced it on Sunday. But don't you understand that that's why we have the prayer chain? It's not just something to just pass the word. It's something that we need to get a hold of God. I mean, when that telephone call comes and someone needs prayer, we need to pray. Amen. Intercessory prayer. Why? Because God says to do it for all saints. All saints. That's just not the ones you like or the ones you're friends with. All saints. I mean everybody. Amen. That means all of us, you see. All saints. And the thing about it is what He's trying to get us to do is simply this. He's trying to get us to understand that we are in this thing together. Folks, even if you have a brother that lives over in Saudi Arabia, if there's Christians over in Saudi Arabia, he's your brother. You may not know him, you may not have seen him, but he's your brother. He's a brother in Christ if he's a Christian. He's born again, he's a Christian. And we need to be concerned. There was a fellow this week was telling me, and you won't know, it's away from here, so I won't mention any names or nothing, but he was telling me and asking me a question about his church. And he says, you know, Brother Ross, he said, it's been probably 4 years since we've seen anyone walk down the aisle and get saved in our church. And he said, you know, our preacher, he said he gives good messages. He said he gives us good messages. But he said, and let me say this kindly, he said he's got him and his family caught up in this ball game thing. And just about every illustration that he uses from the pulpit is concerning a ball game. Now, we talked it over, and I said, here's what you need to do. He was asking me in confidence. I said, here's what you need to do. You need to get down on your knees and pray every day, especially on Sunday when he goes to the pulpit. Not condemn him, not do that, but pray that God's power will come back on his life, where God can do something. You see, folks, all these other things will fall into place if we get God's power. Priorities will fall into place if we get God's power. And I asked him to do that, and I promised him I would pray also. Folks, we're in this thing together. You know, we look at it and we say, oh, ain't that a terrible shame? It is a shame. Wherever, you know, this church, wherever it is, needs the power of God to see people saved. There are brethren out there. We're in this together. Amen. So what should we do? Well, we need to pray that God's power come back upon this man, that things will begin to change in his life where he understands the problem and he'll get his life back straight with the Lord. We don't need to sit around and condemn him. We just need to pray. We need to ask God to do something, you see, so souls will be saved. Because why? We're in this thing together, folks. Don't you understand, really, in all seriousness, do you know that that's one of the main reasons we gather on Sunday and on Wednesdays? Is for each other. Now, you go back, and I know this is familiar scripture, but I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear it again in Hebrews 10th chapter. I just want you to hear it. I won't read too many verses, but I want you to hear it. Chapter 10, verse 23. Chapter 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, he's talking about God's people holding fast the profession of their faith without wavering, without being blown around with every wind of doctrine, without being wavering in their faith. Now, listen to what he says. And let us, listen to this, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know you've heard that verses of Scripture, but you ought to read it every day if you have to. Marvelous verses of Scripture. What's he saying to us? We're to provoke one another to good works. Where it talks about that exhorting one another, that encouraging one another, he's not talking about encouraging them to do wrong. It means to encourage them to do right. Encourage them to do right. One another, we're encouraged to do right. That's why, that's one of the main reasons we come to church. I mean, I know we hear from the Word of God. You're encouraged to do right. But did you realize the importance of God's people gathering together? Do you understand the importance of that? God wants us to gather together and provoke one another to good works. He wants us to talk back and forth with each other and encourage one another. The church ain't a place to fight. Church isn't a place to battle. The church is to get together and mind the Bible, mind the Word of God, hear from it, and encourage one another to mind the Bible. You should not be discouraged if one of your brethren comes up and you have not been really doing right. I mean, you haven't been doing right, and they walk up to you and say, you know, brethren, and do it very confidentially, say, I love you so much, and, you know, you've not been really faithful to church lately, and I want you to come. We love you so much, and it's right that you should be here, and you need to be in God's house. That's exhorting one another. You know, while most folk would get, they get mad at that. But they shouldn't get mad at that. That's exhorting one another, provoking one another to good works, you see. And we don't do that in a smart aleck tone. But we ought to do it. See, that's what it's all about. And again, I'm saying to you folks, listen, we need to, as a church, gather together. We're not alone in this thing. Every person, you're fighting battles, I'm fighting battles. We're all fighting this old same Satan. Every single one of us is fighting the same old fella. Amen. So we just need to understand it. And as he tells us in that portion of Scripture in Hebrews, folks, listen, just imagine a big pile of coals. And you've heard this illustration, but think of it. Big pile of coals. Amen. Where it's burning and hot, you know, and all that. And you take one of those and you out of there and you lay it over here. It ain't very long at all. It's just as cold as it can be. And it don't have any fire left in it. And all these other ones back over here that's together, they're just as hot and burning, you know. That's what God's telling us. You get out away from God's house, you get all those things, you're just going to get all cold. You're just cold. You can't help but not be. You see, so what you need to do, get back in where the coals are. Amen. Need to get back in where the coals are. See, and that's what the Lord is trying to tell us. And so what's he saying to us? Well, he's saying, you pray for the saints. Pray for these saints. Pray for them, you see. And remember, as I said, every other saint of God is engaged in the same battle. Same conflict. It may be different circumstances, but folks, we've all got our battles. Every one of us out here has got our battles. And we're fighting that same old Satan. He's a wicked, wicked person. He doesn't love you. He never will love you. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony. Amen? So we need to understand that we're all in the same battle. And at the same time, we need to remember that the battle is the Lord's. It's his. No, it really is his. No, I know we got to be there and do in the fight. But it is his battle. Amen. It's his power that stands behind it. Now here's what happens. Here's how Satan isolates us. Okay, and he's good at it. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that you ought not to care about your concerns, because you have to. That's part of your life. You have to care about your concerns. You pray about your concerns. You do all this. But what happens is this: he gets us thinking and dwelling on our fears, our hopes, my problems, my difficulties, and we don't even think about anything else. He'll center you in on self to the point where that's all you think about. What's going on in my life? What's happening to me? And what he wants you and I to do, yes, I know you got to be concerned about those things. I know those things. But what he wants you to do is also to pray for others. Be concerned about others. Amen. At that same time, don't forget that the other folk are also having problems and troubles. You see, what we've got to remember is this: this whole picture, this whole battle that we're talking about here in Ephesians, it's bigger than any of us. You know, it's not about Bob Ross. It's about the work of God that Bob Ross is doing here in Jacksonville, Indiana. It's about the Lord's work. It's not about me. It's not about the Jim Townsleys out in Southern Connecticut. It's about the work of God that he's doing out in Southern Connecticut. It's not about Luke Townsley down in Dominion Republic. It's about the work that God wants to do down there. And we got to get our minds off the fact it's always us. We got to remember, yes, he uses us. Yes, he does use us, but he wants his work done. And I say that, I said use preachers as an illustration, but folks, that's true about you too. It's not about you. It's about the work of God and how we can get it done. Understand? That's what it's all about. You keep your mind on that instead of getting your mind on yourself all the time and just all drawn up in yourself and worrying about yourself all the time. Yes, you got to deal with self, but get your mind out of there and get it back on other people and the work of God, and realize this thing that we're doing here is much bigger than any of us. Amen? And what he's wanting us to do is turn that over to God, or give it back to him if we took it away from him. Give our life back to him. Give our problems back to him. Troubles back to him. Give them back to God. Let him take care of them. Amen? You know, this country, when it went to war in the First World War, went to war in the Second World War, and it went to war in different times over in Korea and Vietnam and other places. Let me say to you, when we went to war as a country. It was not a private war. Now listen to me. I know individuals fought privately. I know that they had their battles. I know they was hurt. I know they suffered. I know they had their fears. I know they all had all of those things. But the overall picture was, it was a war against America. You understand? Did you understand that that's what's going on in the spiritual realm? See, yes, you're fighting battles. Yes, I know you are. I know all of those things. But folks, it's not just about that. Let's look at the big picture. The big picture is, the war is, it's God against Satan. Heaven against hell. That's the big picture. And we've got to remember that. Yes, the individual is there fighting, and we have our battles and all of those things, but folk, it's much bigger than that. Amen? So, listen to me. You know, in a war, failure in any part of the line that was stretched across, I mean, any failure in any one part of it was going to hurt the whole army. They break through one part of the line, they have a way into to the rear of these other ones. I'm saying to you, don't you understand the importance of the individual Christian standing in faith? That when you give in and you let up, it's going to hurt the whole army of God, the whole work of God. Do we not understand that? Don't you understand if any Christian fails, if any Christian falls, all will suffer? Yeah. Somebody has to pick up the torch that one dropped. Amen. The defense is let down when you fail, when you fall, you refuse to stand. The defense is let down. Remember, it's not just about you or me. It's about the Lord's work and getting it done while we're here. A preacher gets into the till. Headlines. Now, do you ever notice? When someone robs a bank and he's a construction worker, they don't say, construction worker! I've seen deacons do this or do that. Deacon of a church! You know why? That's Satan's kingdom. He wants to destroy. Amen? And that's why you see these headlines. You're not going to see anything different. That's why it's so important that we don't give them headlines. Amen? Why? Because the work of God is at stake, not just the individual. The work of God is at stake, you see. So what's he say to do? Pray for one another. Please pray for one another. Amen? Please pray. I want to show you an illustration over in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. You say, does prayer really work, Brother Ross? Does it help? Sure does. First chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse number 8, let me read. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now this is the Apostle Paul. He says that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying, folks. This is the Apostle Paul saying this. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And listen to what he says in the first part of verse 11. And ye also helping together by prayer for us. You say, Brother Ross, explain it to me. I can't explain it to you. I don't even try to explain it. All I know is, that's how important prayer is. I don't understand all of God's ways. All I know is, Paul said, I went through all of this, and you know how you helped me? You prayed for me. That's how. Now, do we think that prayer is important? We better. We better have an understanding of it. That's why you have prayer trouble. That's why you have trouble praying. Satan don't want you praying. He doesn't want me praying. Can you imagine just for a few moments a lonely missionary over on some foreign field, and he's all discouraged and hasn't seen anybody saved for some time, and he just feels hopeless, and his life is in despair, and illness has come to his life, and his body is weak, and trouble seems like everywhere. And all at once, God says to some Christians across America, maybe supporting churches, I want you to pray for so-and-so. And Christians all over America get down on their knees and begin to call this man's name out to God. And you and I can't understand it. You and I don't know how it even works. But all at once, the courage comes back to this lonely missionary that's over there. Now, he's still got an ill body, sickness, still got troubles, but for some reason he can go on. You know why? Because people over in America got down on their knees and been crying out to God and said, please, please, God, help him. I'm just telling you, that's how important prayer is. But let's don't go across the seas. Let's go to right here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's imagine one of the brethren of our church is all discouraged and hopeless and in despair. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he has a weak body. Don't you think he needs the same prayer as that missionary needs? Don't you think maybe that God wants us to treat him or her just like we would that missionary? And that we would lift up that name in prayer and ask God to help that dear brethren in Christ that's going through a hard, difficult time? Do you think maybe that'd work? You think that's the way it would be? That's the way it ought to be? I believe it is. I believe that's why God says pray for all the saints. Just pray for all the saints. You see, if the Apostle Paul was asking for their prayers, as far as I'm concerned, the Apostle Paul is the greatest preacher, the greatest Christian that there ever was. Now, that may just be my opinion. But as you read the Apostle Paul's life, I don't know how you could come up with anything else. And here he is asking people to pray for him. And said, you sure help me by praying for me. He was a prisoner when he wrote this. He did not ask to get him out of jail. He had physical afflictions when he wrote this. And he did not even ask to be healed. Now, there was other times he did. God had already told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not saying you should not pray for healing. I'm not saying. I'm just simply saying. Do you know what the Apostle Paul's concern was during this time? It wasn't him being locked up in a jail. It wasn't his physical infirmities he had. His prayer was, and listen to what it says, going back to Ephesians, verse number 19. And he said, pray for all the saints, but he said, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what his main concern was? The work of God. That he would speak right, and he would do so boldly. And that's what he said. His request was that utterance may be given unto me. In other words may be given unto me. And I think also the thought there is that opportunity for him to give utterance, the opportunity for him to witness. Remember, he's in jail. But utterance be given, and he said also that I be able to speak, and he mentions this twice in those two verses, boldly. That's what the Apostle Paul was concerned about. Boldly speaks of frankly, freely, nothing to be kept back, declaring the whole oracles of God. Not being fearful of anything, but just simply to preach the Bible, the Word of God. In fact, preach that message. Paul would be saying, let me preach that message that God gave me to preach. And let me do it with boldness. And you know what he was concerned about? His only concern was that he had just pleased God. He wasn't fearful of his captors. He wasn't fearful of anybody. He just wanted to please God. Let me ask you a question, or ask a request. Would you pray for your preacher like that? Your preachers? Would you pray that God would give us utterance and boldness to speak as we ought to speak? Amen? Would you do that for us? And other preachers, you know, just ask God. If Paul needed it, folks, I want to tell you, I need it. Amen? And I do. Would you please pray? Now, I want to show you one other thing. Now, I'll close. 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter. 10th chapter, 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to start reading, just read two verses, verse 10 and 11. For his letters, say they, and these are the philosophers of Corinth, who was saying this about Paul. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such as one think this, that such as we are in word by letter, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Did you know what the philosophers of Corinth thought about Apostle Paul? They said he's a little weakling. His body is weak and his speech is contemptible. He wasn't an Apollos. Apollos was an orator, eloquent orator. Paul was not. And yet he was, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest preacher besides our Lord that ever lived. Now what I'm saying to you, you know one of the reasons I think he was? He knew he needed God's power. And he knew he needed people praying for him. He knew the power of prayer. And so I'm simply saying to you, pray for us that way. Amen. And let us also pray for one another. When we see someone having a hard time of it, difficult time in life, things coming at them, why don't you just pray for them rather than condemn? And at the same time, will you forget those who are being prayed for you? Will you remember that the folk who are praying for you also need prayed for? That it's all not just about you? Amen. It's about all of us. Because we all need God's power, God's help, God's wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace, your goodness and kindness to us. Thank you for the great privilege of prayer. And Father, help us to remember these things we've learned tonight. Help us, Lord, to apply them as well as just learn them. Help us, Lord, to become a part of our prayer life. Now thank you for who you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.